Chapter 13. It took many hours for the last reaches of that place to be purged. Warriors of both legions still fought and killed and died before the Xenos resistance was crushed entirely. And even then, just as at every battlefield on which the Hain were present, it would take many days of repeated burn operations to be sure that they would not come back. After the battle was over, long into the deep of Gar-Ban-Gar's night, it would usually have been the time for celebration. Pyres would have been lit, not just for the disposal of Xenos corpses, but for remembrance and relief. Another world had passed into the dominion of mankind, and that moment was always marked by fires. For much of the Imperial force, that is indeed what happened. The Lunar Wolves cried out against the stars, vocalizing gang chants drawn from the earliest days on hard-edged Chthonia. They reached out to their brothers from Chogoris, as wild in aspect, if not in manners, and they laughed together, wiping the soot from their gauntlets and ripping the teeth from the skulls of the Xenos for trophies. A kind of febrile relief shuddered through the ranks, given license to discharge by the captains, who knew that after so many long months of unremitting sacrifice, what remained of their human emotion had to be given some kind of expression. With the bulk of the murdering done, the auxilia moved in. Columns of clean-up troops filed down into the tunnels, most wearing contagion suits and carrying radguns. Heavy lifters churned their way from orbit, each one stuffed with Imperial officials and scrutinizers and xenobiologists and terraformers and masters of the Lex Obsequio. Soon, that river would become a flood, and the staff of the Administratum would outnumber those of the legions themselves. Of the original combatants, only the apothecaries remained on the battle sites, doing what they always did after the conflict was over. The Lunar Wolves' apothecaries went methodically about their business, free of sentiment, tearing progenoid glands free from flesh. Their white scars' empty counterparts were slower, whispering words of soul passage for the fallen, not moving on until the proper rites were complete. It would have been usual for the Primarch to join the celebrations. On Chogoris, the Khan had always presided over revels once the cities had fallen, feasting on the rich bounty before ensuring his fighters shared in it. On other worlds, he had done the same, preserving the ways of the Palatine War into the cold avenues of the stars. Not this time. The Khan sent Hasek to watch over the Legion, lest their hot blood boil over into something uncontrollable, then left the battlefield, taking none with him but Kinjar. Together, the two of them climbed back up through the echoing and blood-damp hive, out into the cooling air and away north, leaving the frenzy behind them. As they went, the flames crackled higher, making the dusk air glow. After a while, they passed beyond the watch patrols and the overflights, and for a few moments at least were something like alone. The Khan turned back to face the way they had come and looked over the site of destruction. The blood moor smouldered away in the darkness, a sinkhole of ruin. For a long time, he said nothing.
"It was weakness," he said at last.
"No one says it," Kinjar replied, calm as ever.
"I have lost warriors before. He was with us at the start. It had to happen, sooner or later.
Did it?
Nothing is eternal.
Some things are. A good blade, the wind on skin, an oath."
The Khan let slip a crooked smile.
"Just what would make you angry then, Ja?" he asked.
"If you became in some way like other men,"
the master of the Keshik said.
"If you had seen him die, and not done what you did. If you had let one of them, just one, live, then, Kargan, I would have been angry."
The Primarch pondered that. He reached up to his straggling hair to push it back from his scarred face and traced a fresh line of blood across his skin.
"I will have to get used to it, he said.
I do not think you ever will.
Then there were footfalls coming up the slope. The soft grind of cataphracti terminator battle plate. Pairs of glowing lenses emerged from the gloom. Most halted, holding back 20 paces distant. But their master, Sejanus, approached the Primarch. The captain bowed. He was helmless, and his eyes were steely in the low light.
You look so much like my brother, the Khan murmured.
I wished to give honour to your dead, Lord, Sejanus said. But if you desire to be alone...
Which is appreciated.
Sejanus looked a little discomforted then.
I have had word from Horus Lupercal. I thought you would wish to know as soon as possible.
The Khan glanced briefly at Kinjar.
We were due to meet after this, he said. Combine our forces before the assault on the Corps.
He has already begun. The opportunity to strike came, and he felt compelled to take it.
The Khan looked at him for a long time.
I had no inkling of this.
I was told to assure you that no disrespect is implied. The chance came and could not be passed up. Once his current target is destroyed, he invites you to join him on the Vengeful Spirit, where he can explain further.
The Khan smiled to himself.
He invites me.
That is the form of words we have, Lord.
He does not order.
Sejanus looked shocked.
No, he said. No, that could not be...
Peace. I jest. Ha ha ha! I barely take orders from my father, let alone anyone else. But tell me, Captain, this change has come from nowhere.
At that, there was another sign of uneasiness.
I understand that. I am not privy to all aspects of this decision. I asked for further clarification, but was told that the order stands.
The Khan nodded slowly.
Your librarians, he said thoughtfully. What is their status?
They have been withdrawn.
With no explanation?
Not one that I have been told.
Operational reasons, no doubt.
I expect so, Lord.
The Khan smiled dryly.
But you will remain here, I trust, until all is concluded.
Sejanus bowed.
It will be an honour, Lord.
He hesitated, as if unsure how much more to say.
My master, and I, for that matter, have nothing but praise for what our legions have accomplished together. He wished me to make plain, and I am happy to do so, that it is not mere proximity that made this alliance suitable for the Imperial purpose.
He believes we worked well together. The Khan inclined his head a fraction in acknowledgement.
You have a diplomat's tongue, Sejanus. When you next converse with your master, tell him that I regret we were not able to join forces as arranged. Tell him that I remain keen to speak with him whenever he is able. Tell him that I wish for no misunderstandings between us. The time and the place can be of his choosing.
Sejanus bowed.
Impress that on him, if you will, the Khan said. When he calls, I will answer.
Hasek watched the fires, listened to the cries of released aggression and relief, felt the warm slick of Halak slide down his throat. He had released his Keshig to join the others, and could just about detect Goghal singing somewhere, trying to teach the Chthonians old Talskar chants. He had no appetite for it. Warriors had always died in combat, both before and after Ascension. But Gearhun had always seemed invincible. Hasek drank more, knowing that virtually no amount of alcohol could truly dull his senses, as it had once done. But the rehearsal of the old habit was easy to slip back into. The Space Marines had mortal elements left in them, despite all that had been done to their bodies. fragments of a human past that lingered somewhere in that skein of vat-grown organs and bioengineered tangles. A figure stumbled out from the flickering darkness towards him, and it took Hasek a moment to recognize the outline of Borghal. The Stormseer looked just as exhausted as he had done after the fight for the saddleback.
Noyan Khan,
Borghal saluted, placing his hand out to lean against the cooling chassis of a rhino transport.
You killed more shamans, I hope, said Hasek.
Very many. I understand a lesson now. Strange how it took so long.
Hasek looked at him a little sourly.
If the Chthonians used what they had, we'd have finished this quicker.
I wish to find their librarian, but no one can tell me where he is. He might listen now.
I'd be a fool not to. But then the galaxy has many fools in it. Most of them on Terra.
Borghal hesitated.
Are you all right, Noyan Khan?
Hasek took another long swig.
Get some rest, Zadin Aga. It won't stop here. Come the dawn, we'll be doing this all over again.
Borghal looked at him for a moment longer, but then nodded. He was at the end of his strength. He bowed weakly, then stumbled off again, seeking somewhere to slump. Hasek didn't watch him go. More groups of warriors limped past, some of them carrying deep wounds, the kind that would have killed a regular human, but merely made these warriors wince and adjust their stance until it healed. Most were White Scars, who all bowed, and the rest were Lunar Wolves, who didn't. Except one. Rior seemed to have been looking for him. He had fared better than many of the others, and his armour looked almost intact.
You're a hard man to find, Khan,
Rior said, his heavy face splitting in an awkward attempt at a smile. Hasek grunted.
Not that hard, clearly, he said.
Rior looked around them, at the throngs of bodies moving in the dark. The scene was primal, with the firelight and the smell of blood and the rehearsal of old war cries.
You wish to complain about our witches?
Hasek said.
To tell me that I should have consulted you first? No, not that.
Rior looked back at him.
I'm not a proud man, Khan. I can see when a tactic works. We were a good combination, I think.
Hasek drank again. That was hard to deny.
We were light,
Rior went on.
Our two legions. We're hive scum, you're barbarians. They'll let us build their empire for them, but we won't be suffered to live in it.
It was the first time the Lunar Wolves captain had spoken thus. Before, he had been taciturn to the point of inscrutability.
So then, we have a custom,
Rior said haltingly.
Something we took from Chthonia, though it changed once we'd seen other worlds. After battle, we meet. We form bonds. They can be a source of strength.
Hasek looked at him uncertainly.
A legion order? Well, not so much. An informal agreement.
For the first time, Hasek noticed that there were others standing in the shadows further back, as if waiting for Rior. They were all 16th Legion, though seemingly from many different squads.
I'd like to show you, if you are willing,
Rior said.
We can learn from what you did. No doubt you can learn from us, too. What is that you have there? Some kind of coin? I can explain. Come, if you wish to. Stay, if you prefer. But the offer's there.
Hasek hesitated. Solitude had been his intention, to wallow a little in indulgent grief, knowing that it couldn't last long, knowing he'd be called back to the Khan's side soon. He had been elevated a long way. Old ties of kinship and clan were gone, or stretched so far they had become almost meaningless. He was the master of the Horde of the Earth now, a commander of thousands of the finest troops ever created, a conqueror of worlds and a scourge of empires. And yet, somewhere buried a long way down, that old human past would never quite be extinguished, nagging at him like an old and half-remembered dream. Brotherhood was still required. He looked up at Rior. The Lunar Wolves captain beckoned for him to follow.
Oh, you be welcome, brother, he said.
Something in the gesture suddenly appealed.
For a moment, maybe,
Hasek replied, making ready to go with him.
Where's the harm?